If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Welcome to The Flight by Yuengling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Roumeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks suffer their first defeat of 2026. The Washington Capitals handing the Blackhawks a 5-1 loss here at the United Center. And I'm going to bring in Steve Conroyd to help me break down this game before he treks off to Nashville for the flight tomorrow night against the Nashville Predators. And Boy, Steve, this morning we saw a couple of the guys that were not out there on the ice for morning skate. Foligno, Mikheyev, Arvid Soderblom, because an illness was going around the Blackhawks. And then later on in the game, or later on in the day, we find out that Spencer Knight and Louis Crevier were also victims of this stomach bug, so they were not available. Foligno did play, but he clearly was not 100%. This was a tough one where the Hawks were basically without five of their most important players, and obviously down to their third string goaltender in this one.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, you know, and especially when you're missing your top, you know, two netminders. And that's not a knock on Drew Commesso, but Drew Commesso wasn't expecting to start even when he woke up this morning. He had no idea he was going to be in Chicago facing Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. I think there's typically, and you talk to any coach or general manager, there's 10 games every year that you know you have no chance of winning. And some of them are due to scheduling, some of them are due to injuries, and some are due to illness. And you know, typically that a flu bug or a cold or, you know, some kind of a sickness can go through a dressing room, can ravage a dressing room. You know, it happened during COVID to a number of teams, but, you know, guys aren't going to be at 100%. And it was a bunch of guys tonight, not only who weren't playing, but who were on the ice, probably not feeling at their best. And yet they tried to gut it out, and, you know, they came up on the short end. So it was going to come to an end at some point, the winning streak, 5-1-1 their last seven, four in a row. We were hoping it would be five, especially with Connor Bedard coming back. But the cards were just stacked against them, just, you know, too many key players out and just not a lot of energy. You just see it on the ice. They just you know, felt that it just seemed that something was missing, and I think that was their health.
Yeah, Blackhawks head coach, I should mention, Jeff Blashill, he was also not on the ice for morning skate because he was one of the guys that got hit with it. Anders Sorensen, assistant coach, was not on the bench tonight. He usually runs the defenseman, and so it was probably a very disorienting game all around, and just guys probably out of their routines and not even knowing who was going to be available when they came to the rink tonight. And so, I mean, I know the Blackhawks play tomorrow against the Nashville Predators. I mean, it's kind of a nervy game tomorrow because you don't really know what's going to happen between now and tomorrow's game. Hopefully, maybe it's just a 24-hour thing where maybe some of the guys that didn't play tonight could be available tomorrow, but I don't know if they're going to travel with the team tonight. So if they are good to go, they might have to take their own flight in tomorrow to Nashville later on in the afternoon.
Well, the good news is there's tons of flights into Nashville from Chicago, whether it's O'Hare or from Midway. So if they can't make the flight tonight, maybe they can come in first thing in the morning. It'll be tough, and it'll be really tough because, like I said, I think there were some guys who played tonight who probably weren't at 100%. Who knows? The Blackhawks might have to make a call, and somebody else might have to come up from Rockford. We saw Kevin Korchinski on the back end. Louis Crevier, and, you know, that's a big hole to fill in the back end. Louis Crevier has played so well this year, especially with Alex Vlasic, basically their top pair. And you take one of the two guys out of their top pair, and there's going to be exposure, and I think there was some exposure tonight. So we'll have to wait and see. It'll be interesting to hear what, and I hope Jeff Blashill talks. I hope he's good enough to talk after the game. We'll have to wait and see where everything stands. And, you know, it's unfortunate that literally it's going to be three games in four nights, right, when you throw in the Edmonton game coming up on Monday. They better get healthy in a hurry.
Tough night for Drew Commesso, too. Obviously, he gives up the three goals in the first period, but that's also it. He didn't get any favors handed to him because of the situation where he didn't even think he thought he was going to be backing up tonight. Well, first of all, he didn't even think he was going to be playing tonight, or I should say on the roster. Then he gets called up thinking he'd be the backup. Then he's starting. I'm curious to see what's going to happen tomorrow, because if Knight and Soderblom are unavailable, it feels like Commesso would probably have to start again tomorrow for the Blackhawks in the second of a back-to-back. And so I actually think he might fare better in tomorrow's game, knowing that you can kind of get into your routine and mentally prepare for a start like
that.
Oh,
I think so, too. You know, he was thrown into the fire tonight, and, you know, that's a tough situation. I think it was pretty interesting to see how Washington attacked this hockey game. They knew that Drew Commesso, just his second NHL start, and they weren't wasting shots on him. And I don't know if you noticed in the first, but they didn't take shots not from the outside, from 55, 60 feet that the goaltender could see. They waited until there was traffic or there was a guy in front for a tip. In fact, the first goal was a redirection right off the doorstep. Commesso could do nothing about it. And three or four of those other initial shots were redirections. So I'm sure the coaching staff for Washington was like, hey, listen, let's not warm this guy up. He just got called up from Rockford. Let's make sure that the shots we're getting are quality, either screens or redirections. And that's exactly what they did.
All right, we thought the big storyline of the game, and it still probably was, is the return of Connor Bedard, who was out of the lineup for the last 12 games for the Blackhawks with a shoulder injury. He did not, I know he didn't get on the score sheet, but he did not look like he had any rust in his game. It feels like he had the wheels moving early on in this one.
Yeah, he was moving really well. I think he had the first shot of the game where he tried to catch Logan Thompson cheating a little bit off the post. He tried to bank it off his either shoulder or possibly even mask into the net. The only knock I'd have on Connor was in that third period, I believe it was the power play. He could have shot it a couple of times. He elected to be a passer, and that's okay. You know, I'm not going to second guess one of the best players in the NHL, but, you know, at some point you got to try and get maybe a little greedier and shoot the puck yourself. But for a first game back after missing 12 games and literally, what, 4 or 5 weeks, his skating was excellent. His shooting was really good, too. He's on point.
Yeah, he had four shots on goal in this game. Three of them came in the first period, but he also did have a couple of looks on the power play setting up Tyler Bertuzzi, mm-hmm. and with the second one specifically on that third power play in the second period for the Blackhawks, I don't know how Logan Thompson got his right pad on it, but that was we had such a perfect vantage point of that pass.
Yeah.
And boy, I thought that was going to be a signature tap in for Tyler Bertuzzi, but Thompson just came up with that pad save.
Yeah, and Logan Thompson, listen, I know they won 5-1. Excuse me. He made a number of really good stops in this hockey game. So the play you're talking about, we looked at each other because it was an outstanding save. I think that Tyler Bertuzzi maybe had a little more room to the left of the pad, but, you know, looking back on it, you're just trying to get your stick on that puck. You're trying to redirect it. You're not expecting the goaltender to make that adjustment, but Logan Thompson did.
The only goal of the game was scored for the Blackhawks, anyways, was Oliver Moore. Now has goals in back-to-back games. I mean, what a rip on the power play that we saw him just right over the right shoulder on Logan Thompson. It feels like his confidence is starting to grow.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize that he had a shot like that. He's a first-round pick, so obviously he's a special player. We know he's really fast. He scored on a power play his last game against the St. Louis Blues, but that shot, I mean, that was just, it literally jumped off his stick. And I'm still, I don't know if Logan Thompson saw it or not. He was trying to make himself bigger to stop it with his shoulder, but he beat him cleanly over the shoulder under the bar. That's a perfectly placed shot. So I think you're starting to see Oliver Moore now just gain more confidence each and every game. I think the move from wing to center, you know, really helped him an awful lot. And he started this game centering Connor Bedard and Nick Lardis. Bedard did not stay there, as you mentioned, in the second period the whole game. But that being said, I think that, you know, these are just small steps in the progression for Oliver Moore to becoming, you know, an everyday NHL player and a top six forward in the NHL.
All right, Hawks are traveling to Nashville, so I'm going to send you off because I don't want Panger to be mad at me because I know you're hitching a ride with him to the airport. Safe travels to Nashville. Vitamin up before and make sure you stay away from some of the guys on the plane because we don't know who else is going to be dropping tomorrow.
I will. A first time driving with Darren, I want to see if he has a booster seat to see up over the steering wheel. And I bet you he does.
I bet you he does. See, Troy Murray would always poke fun at Darren Pang. I don't know if I'm there quite yet, but I know you can as well, so yeah. I'll let you do it. All right, the Blackhawks fall to the Washington Capitals 5-1. Man, the Hawks, they gave up a goal early on in this one. It was 4:03 into the first period. Anthony Beauvillier, former Blackhawk, scored the first goal of this game. And I think one of the big turning points of this one was the Blackhawks having basically back-to-back power plays, but also a minute and 15 seconds of five-on-three power play time just 4.5 minutes after the Beauvillier goal. And, boy, I think the Hawks got credited with five shot attempts on that power play. Or I kind of just lumped in that entire sequence together, the first 45 seconds, the 5-on-3 power play for a minute and 15, and then whatever time was left, in the 45 seconds after the 5-on-3 power play the Blackhawks had left. They registered five shot attempts, but, man, it felt like more. It felt like the Hawks had like five, six chances. Unfortunately, weren't able to capitalize. The best chance on that in that sequence was Tyler Bertuzzi finding a loose puck in the crease. Logan Thompson was sprawled on the ground with his, essentially his chest was like on the ice. So his two legs were kind of spread out and the puck was just in between his legs. Bertuzzi went to poke the puck in. And I think there was a defenseman that was trying to, that was essentially blocking the goal line. And unfortunately it didn't go in and the puck, makes its way out. Man, if the Hawks score there, it's a 1-1 hockey game, and maybe it's just a completely different feel moving forward. Washington ends up scoring on the next, they end up scoring the next two goals later on in the period to move ahead 3-0. And it felt like after the first period, Hawks are in a hole. They're trying to climb out of this without a few of their players, a weird lineup tonight. Their third-string goaltender. I was watching Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill on the bench today, and he just did not look like himself. He wasn't very animated. He was kind of just, a little bit measured. You could tell that he was clearly not himself either. So it was just one of those games that you just kind of had to power through, and I don't want to say accept the loss, but it's hard to evaluate this game and be upset by the outcome, knowing all the external factors that went into this game. But I thought that turning point moment in this game happened pretty early when the Blackhawks had that power play and then the 5-on-3. And man, if the Hawks capitalized there, it's obviously a different game. Now, I will say the Blackhawks did capitalize on the power play later on in the second period, and they now have 8 power play goals on their last, is it 17 or 18 opportunities now? So the power play has been absolutely red hot. Connor Bedard, I thought, was really zipping it around on the power play specifically. And so, unfortunately, you kind of wish that power play goal by Oliver Moore to make it 3-1 maybe happened in the first period, because then it kind of generates some momentum for the Blackhawks the rest of the game, and it kind of gets the Blackhawks back into it early on. But unfortunately, they left that first period down by 3, and then they were kind of playing catch up the rest of the way with a battered, injured, or in should say illness lineup, just missing a bunch of guys. And so so the Hawks fall to the Washington Capitals 5-1. I believe we're getting some post game sound from the locker room. Connor Bedard spoke to the media after playing his first game since December 12th, and then I believe Matt Grizzlick also spoke to the media. So we'll hear what those Blackhawks players had to say. Blackhawks fall to the Washington Capitals 5-1 here at the United Center, kicking off a stretch where the Hawks are playing 3 games in 4 days. And also, this is the first of a back-to-back with the Hawks playing in Nashville tomorrow. Oliver Moore, goals now in back-to-back games. He also added an assist in the St. Louis game, so he had a multi-point effort on Wednesday. Follows that up with a power play goal here tonight, and what a shot it was over the right shoulder of Logan Thompson, his 5th goal of the season. That ended up being the lone goal that the Blackhawks scored in this one. Connor Bedard made his return to the lineup, first game since December 12th after suffering that right shoulder injury with 0.8 seconds left in St. Louis. Well, let's hear what Bedard had to say after his first game in almost a month.
Feel like yourself then?
Feel fine. I think, it was kind of one of those games where puck was, kind of bouncing around a little bit. Tough to, get a lot of crisp pucks, but, I definitely have better, and, we obviously have better as a team.
How tough is it to, he got a bug going around the room and everything, and looked like it was kind of tough for everything to get going tonight?
I think a little bit. I think some guys are feeling it, and but that's part of it. You're going to have that kind of stuff. I think that's where, we've struggled, is when maybe we're not feeling our best, and, when we have our legs, when we're going, I think we're we're always really good, but I think just sometimes figuring out when maybe you don't have it, it's myself included, and you know, once we do that, we'll be, you know, really good.
Aside from the result, was it just good to be back out there?
Yeah, for sure. It's nice. You know, this is what, you know, we all love to do, and we work so hard for. So, you know, you always want to be playing the games, and it definitely feels good to be back. And, you know, hopefully tomorrow it can be kind of a different result.
How difficult is it to have two goalies not being able to play tonight?
Yeah, it's pretty wild for just like random. But, you know, Mess came in and played great. And, I mean, it's tough for him. He gets a call at whatever, noon this morning, or drives up from Rock and doesn't think he's going to start, and then he's starting. So, you know, it was obviously, you know, very impressive for him to come in and play the way he did. And, you know, I think, like I said, that's not the easiest schedule or situation, but, you know, I think we're all, you know, proud of him, and it's exciting to see him be able to do that.
Did you all rally around him to talk to him, like to give him some, you know, positive messages?
I mean, he's a pretty dialed guy. I think he prepares really well, and he's someone that, you know, believes himself, and we all believe in him. So, you know, obviously it's good to see him. You know, we haven't seen him since camp when a guy comes up, so you're saying your hellos, and but he's pretty dialed, and, you know, we have a lot of confidence with him going in.
How much rust did you feel, if at all? Like, how close to 100% did you feel in this first game back?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, you take a couple shifts maybe. It's honestly nice to kind of get popped for a shift there a little bit, feel a bod, so stuff like that. But, you know, overall, like I said, it was kind of one of those nights. But, you know, I felt fine, and I think, obviously, I got a lot better. And but, yeah, I felt fine.
What did you think of skating on a line with Moore and Tavares?
Yeah, two, you know, very dynamic players. And, you know, it was short-lived. We kind of played the first year together, but, you know, two guys that have really come into their own and are going to be great players. So it's fun to play with a lot of guys we have, and those two, you know, included. It's, you know, so much talent and speed and everything, so it's fun.
How soon do you go back to center, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of was playing a bit of center today, but just kind of see, you know, how we're doing and whatnot. But, yeah, we'll see.
All right, that was Blackhawks superstar forward Connor Bedard talking about his first game action in almost a month. And we did see him start this game at the wing on a line with Oliver Moore and Nick Lardis. And obviously Oliver Moore has been really good over the last couple games at the center position. And with Connor coming off that right shoulder injury, I don't expect Connor Bedard to be taking faceoffs for a little bit while he makes sure that shoulder is 110%. Now, it probably is pretty close to 100% as far as, because I don't think the Hawks would have put Connor Bedard in this game if he didn't feel like he was ready to go, but just kind of ease him back into that role. So the Hawks started him on the wing, and I actually kind of forgot about this, but Connor Bedard actually played on a line with Nick Lardis in the 2023 Rookie Showcase Tournament in Minnesota. It was the first unofficial game for Connor Bedard in a Blackhawks sweater, and I remember it very well because Connor Bedard had a hat trick in it, and because former WGN Radio colleague Joe Brand and I both were on the call in Minnesota for it, and that was a very memorable experience. But I forgot that Nick Lardis was one of the guys that he played in that Rookie Showcase tournament with. So they kind of had that built-in chemistry. I know it was just one game, and it was 2 years ago in an exhibition rookie game, but still, that they did have that kind of chemistry. And then Oliver Moore and Nick Lardis have obviously been playing with each other at the start of the year in Rockford, but I thought Bedard was really noticeable. Now, that line really only stayed together for one period because in the second and on, Ryan Green and Andre Burakovsky were put on a line with Connor Bedard, and that was a line that was really clicking. And you heard Connor talk about it there, that he kind of played center tonight. He did start playing center from the second period on, and they kind of moved Ryan Green to the wing, but it was Ryan Green taking the faceoffs and Connor Bedard just kind of starting in however many draws that they took as a line. It was Green taking those draws, and it was Connor Bedard kind of gravitating back to his center position. So after the puck got dropped in those faceoffs, then you saw Bedard ended up kind of going back to his normal center position. And the last thing I want to mention, he kind of mentioned this early on, is that he felt like the The pucks were bouncing today. There weren't any crisp pucks. The Chicago Bulls had a game here last night. Well, they were supposed to have a game here last night against the Miami Heat. There was a two-hour delay because of the crazy humidity that happened in Chicago yesterday, and there were some the floorboard, there was some condensation in the floorboards, and so they ended up postponing the game. And so I wonder how much of the ice was affected. There was a report that the ice was melting underneath the floorboards, but I was told that was incorrect. It was just the condensation that was happening from all the fans that were inside the arena, and it was leading to the condensation on the floorboards. And so I wonder how much of that played a role on the bouncing pucks today for the ice. All right, let's get to another Blackhawks player that spoke to the media, Matt Grizzlick. He added an assist in this game on the Oliver Moore goal. Grizzlick had two assists in the St. Louis game, so he now has three assists in his last two games, slowly starting to contribute more a little bit offensively. Let's hear what Grizzlick had to say after this 5-1 loss to Washington.
There's a bug going around, and that can't be easy. And just how was it to kind of, how hard was it to kind of get going tonight?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to have everyone in the lineup if you can. Just don't think we did a good enough job stepping up and creating our own energy. I think there wasn't much flow to the game, and obviously got off to a tough start, and then it was just tough to regroup for us.
How tough is it when you have a goalie in net and has to deal with this too?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think he did a really good job. We gave up probably way too many great A's there, and he was there to answer the bell. And I just think early on we weren't urgent enough and not playing sound enough in front of him there, but he did a great job battling that position.
Is it tough now to get to play another game tomorrow right away with all this going on?
Yeah, I think, you know, at the same time, after a game like that, you just want to play right away. I think you want to wake up tomorrow, clear up what we need to clear up in video, and then you don't want to just sit around and let it fester for a couple days. So it's a really good opportunity for us to respond here. I think something that we've been pretty good at all year, and we got a young group, but it's a chance to grow and take another step. So we got to be ready to answer the bell tomorrow.
Good to get Connor back.
Yeah. Obviously, he's one of the best players in the league, and you can see right from pregame today the way he was snapping the puck, and thought he was really dynamic on the power play and skating through the neutral zone. So he looked a lot like himself, and we're all super happy to have him back.
All right, that was Blackhawks veteran defenseman Matt Grizzlick, who added an assist in this game for the Blackhawks. It was the assist on Oliver Moore's goal, the power play goal, a primary assist, might I add, now has three assists in his last two games. For Alex Ovechkin finding the back of the net to his 19th goal of the season, fifth of the game for the Washington Capitals. So he kind of scored the little insurance one late in that third period. And how about this? I mean, Alex Ovechkin has scored some memorable goals against the Blackhawks. We all know what happened last year when he scored two goals to tie Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL goals record. But a couple years earlier, here at the United Center, it was December 13th, 2022, he completed the hat trick in a 7-3 win for the Washington Capitals against the Blackhawks, and that hat trick goal put him at 800 career NHL goals. And I remember I went inside the Washington Capitals locker room after the game, and his stall was littered with hats. And so it was a very, very cool moment for Alex Ovechkin, and for him to score in what very possibly could be his last game at the United Center here in Chicago. He's in the final year of his contract with the Washington Capitals. It feels like this might be the last hurrah for him, because I'm not sure if he's going to want to sign an extension. He might just want to retire or maybe go back to Russia and finish things out there. But this might be his last game at the United Center. And so congratulations to Alex Ovechkin on an incredible career. But also that goal that he scored on Drew Chamesso. Drew Chamesso is now the 187th goaltender that Alex Ovechkin has scored on. So there is no shame in being one of those 187. But during the commercial break, I was looking up to see how many NHL players have scored 187 goals just alone, right? It's 629 players. So you got 629 players in NHL history that have scored at least 187 goals. Alex Ovechkin has scored 187 goals on 187 different goaltenders. So, man, just what a remarkable career that Alex Ovechkin has. And if it is the final year in the NHL for him, boy, it was a cool way for him to go out. And there were a lot of Washington Capitals fans in this building tonight that really erupted when he scored that goal. And so I think even as a Blackhawks fan, you can appreciate what he's done for the game. And I think, you know, if you were a fan that was in the building tonight and this was his last game, I know that you'll probably always remember that one. All right, let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say. He didn't do his pregame media availability because he was rocked by the stomach bug, but he was healthy enough to be behind the bench for Chicago, and he did his postgame press conference. Let's hear what Blashill had to say after this loss.
It's got to be not so easy to try and put a lineup together when you've got a bug going through, and, you know, was it tough just kind of getting the legs going, everything tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't think, you know, I didn't think we had it. What's the reason? I mean, we, you know, you certainly talk about no excuses. It's, you know, the reality is a lot of guys didn't feel very good, and so that there's reality in there. You know, so you call up some guys late. You know, Spence kind of got sick really late, so then that puts, you know, I thought Drew went in and played good, but that puts him in a tough spot. All that stuff just is, it is what it is. It's one of those nights, happens in the league, and happened to us tonight, and it'll affect us again tomorrow, and so we're going to have to find a way to, with the lineup, you know, with the guys, we have plenty of guys, good enough lineup for sure to go win the hockey game. We got to play better than we did.
You know how you deal with the goalies for tomorrow?
I do not know how I'm going to deal with the goalies for tomorrow. I don't know for sure who's available to me yet.
I was going to ask if the guys who were out ill tonight are even going to go on the charter tonight or maybe fly in tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's potential on flying in tomorrow, but I maybe on one guy. Mickey will be on the charter, so I would assume Mickey was probably the closest to playing, so I would assume he'll play tomorrow.
You dealt with it too?
Yeah. It was a tough night.
Is it something that, I mean, it passes quickly? I mean, is that the sense?
I think everybody's had different kind of reaction to it. You know, for me, I didn't have to play. I don't feel perfect, but I didn't have to play. For me, it was a pretty quick stomach bug that went, you know, from like 3 in the morning till about noon, you know. For them, everybody's kind of had different kind of reaction to it based on a lot of things, I'm sure. So so we'll see.
Which is kind of a late ad for Korchinski. How do you feel he played tonight?
Yeah, you know, that again, it's a tough kind of deal. Same thing. You come up late. You're playing with a new partner. You know, we put Grizz on the right, so that's always a tough thing. I thought he played fine. You know, I think it was kind of a different game. Like, it didn't feel like either team was really leaning on either team. The chances are pretty low both sides. You know, we probably, you know, we didn't protect our back post good enough. We gave up a couple goofy, well, for sure, one off of one face off. All of a sudden, it's a breakaway. That's a tough one. The fifth goal is the fifth goal, but we're trying to push. So it was a kind of a weird game where they do a good job shooting for back post, and they got a couple of them that way.
What do you think of Bedard tonight?
I thought Connor played solid. You know, I thought you know, trying to work him back into it, and he's been out for a little bit, and he hasn't had any practice, you know, no real practice, just the reality of the schedule. So I thought he played solid. I thought he got better as the game went along, which is probably to be expected. And I think, for, you know, part of it is trying to feel out, you know, what's going to hurt and what's not. And so I know he felt probably more comfortable at the end than he did at the beginning, so that'll only help him for tomorrow.
Second line play as you hoped?
Who was the second line?
Bedard more.
Oh, you know, it didn't work as well as maybe, you know, we wanted to give it a try, and you never know until you give it a try. It wasn't, I can't say they didn't play well. I just, we didn't have much going, but that kind of continued through the night. We just couldn't kind of get ourselves where we were going tape to tape and really breaking out smooth. So everything was kind of bogged down, so with that said, it just doesn't result in a whole bunch. So I kind of switched it back the other way, and you know, put Bedzie with Green and Berkey. That's been a good line for us, and Bert's played good with Dickey. So we'll see what we do tomorrow.
Do you anticipate, I didn't look and see if he took it, but do you anticipate keeping Connor out of the faceoff circle for a while?
Yeah. He's you know, for the foreseeable future, he'll not take faceoffs.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. No surprise there at the very end of Connor Bedard probably being held off the faceoff circle for the foreseeable future, just to not put any additional strain on that right shoulder, and it's not a big deal because he could still play the center position, just not take the draws, kind of like what he did tonight in the second and third periods. All right, time now to get to tonight's Ice Time, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Artem Levchinov leading the way for the Blackhawks. He logged almost 25 minutes of ice time. He finished with 24:42, so just shy of 25. It looked like Wyatt Kaiser was the next closest at 20 minutes and 22 seconds, so a full more than 4 minutes. And then Connor Murphy logged 20 minutes and 10 seconds of ice time. Murphy was on the top pairing in this game with Alex Vlasic because Louis Crevier was one of the handful of players that did not play in this game for the Blackhawks because of the illness. And you heard Jeff Blashill talk about it there. He's literally unsure of what his lineup is going to be tomorrow against the Nashville Predators. Encouraging sign that Ilya Mikheyev is going to join the team charter tonight to Nashville, which makes me feel like he's tracking towards a return. You heard Jeff Blashill say that the bug knocked him out from 3 a.m. to noon. And so assuming that, I know some of the reactions can be a little bit different, but assuming that maybe it's within maybe kind of a 24-hour bug, maybe some of the players that got held out in tonight's game could be available tomorrow, but it might be stretching it because you heard that Spencer Knight was one of the guys that got added late to the scratch list because he started to feel something. So I imagine, you know, 24 hours from now would be too short of notice. And so we'll see what the Blackhawks do. I don't think they would be uncomfortable throwing Drew Commesso in this the second of a back-to-back because I feel like with more time to prepare just mentally, you know, and him not really having the rigors of, you know, a starting type workload in the NHL. It's not like he's, you know, that they've worn him into the ground. He had 19 appearances with the Rockford IceHogs, and he had a pretty respectable save percentage at .909, only 6 wins to show for it, but he's been playing well down in Rockford. So I think if the Hawks have to lean on Commesso for a second straight night, I don't think that would be the worst option. But the real question, honestly, is who's going to be the backup? Like if Arvid Soderblom is good to go, you know, I guess he would maybe slide into the starting role, but or if he's just not feeling totally 100%, but he can dress, you know, maybe you just give Arvid an opportunity to just dress as the backup. So we'll see. A lot of what ifs right now, and we haven't even mentioned the possibility, knock on wood, that, you know, somebody else could, you know, could come down with it as well. So a very tricky situation where an illness is really ripping through the Blackhawks locker room, and the Hawks are you know, having to try to figure how to try to navigate through this. Time now to dive into a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. How about an update on number 18 overall pick from the 2024 NHL draft for the Blackhawks, Sacha Boisvert, who's in his sophomore season at Boston University after he transferred from North Dakota after a really solid freshman season there. Boston University returned to action last Saturday after the college holiday break, and they did so in big fashion with an 8-2 victory. Boisvert had 2 goals, 9 shots on goal in the victory. He's now up to 13 points in 13 games with 4 goals and 9 assists. So he's averaging a point per game player, but he's had a little bit of a quiet start to the season. And Scott Powers of The Athletic dropped a story earlier today explaining why. And I guess he suffered a shoulder injury in the second game of the season, and he didn't want to sit in the lineup, so he tried powering through, and then he missed a few games to try to rest it up. Then they had the college break, or the holiday break in college, and now they're back in action. I guess he's feeling way more like himself, and it really showed in that 8-2 victory over Simon Fraser. So good to see Boisvert feeling more like himself. I'd expect him to have a really strong second half of the season over in Boston University. Time now for tonight's Next Game Preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action tomorrow night against the Nashville Predators, 7 p.m. puck drop at Bridgestone Arena. Pregame show is going to be right here on 720 WGN at 6:30. And we know the second of back-to-backs have historically been tough for the Blackhawks. Prior to the Sunday win against the Vegas Golden Knights, 3-2 overtime this past Sunday, the Hawks were 0-4-0 with being outscored 27-7 in the second of a back-to-backs. But fortunately for Chicago, they did get back into the win column on Sunday against Vegas. The Nashville Predators have had a interesting turnaround to their season. They started the year 6-12-4, but since then they are 14-7 over the last 21 games, and they haven't lost back-to-back games since before Thanksgiving. So they're on a nice run right now, and Steven Stamkos has been red hot for the Nashville Predators. He had 12 goals in 14 games in the month of December after starting the season with 6 goals in his first 25 games. So Nashville is no joke, and the team that they are right now is not the team that they were at the start of the season. So if you're the Blackhawks, beware of kind of a hungry Predators team that has really turned the corner since Thanksgiving. All right, last thing before we close out the show. There was a historic moment that happened in the NHL last night, and I think Blackhawks fans are going to care very deeply about this. It was Patrick Kane scoring his 500th career NHL goal. He becomes the 50th player in NHL history to score 500 career goals. And honestly, he's not really known to be a goal scorer. We've known him here in Chicago as just an elite playmaker, a passer, but he's played so long that he's really kind of midway through his NHL career, he developed into more of a dual threat of a 50-50 pass shot. And so it was great to see him find the back of the net. And the Detroit Red Wings had an ISO cam on him, kind of a mic'd up moment, and which I thought was really cool. And then they also had a behind-the-scenes footage of Patrick Kane inside the locker room after, where it was Dylan Larkin sharing a really nice moment with Patrick Kane, giving him the game puck. And there's all the Red Wings personnel that are in there, the coaching staff, management group, ownership, training staff, all of it huddled around, and they're standing. And Kane goes to the center of the locker room, and he has this really nice speech that lasted about 2 minutes. And he got emotional when he was talking about the moment when he had hip resurfacing surgery and wondering if he was going to be able to play hockey again. And so that was really the first time that I'd seen, you know, Kane really question or maybe publicly say out loud that he wasn't sure whether he was even going to play, because he just comes across as such a confident guy. And you know, maybe there was a little bit of doubt, but for him to power through that and now kind of return to the Patrick Kane that we're used to seeing, and he's doing so for a really good Detroit Red Wings team. Like, they are right there at the top of the Eastern Conference, and he even said it too, like, he believes in that team. And so it was great to see it, Patrick Kane get 500. Obviously, I'll address the elephant in the room. It is weird that he did it in a Red Wings sweater. You wish he did it all here in Chicago, but it's cool to watch his second act in Detroit. I still very much enjoy watching him play hockey, and I think Chicago fans from afar appreciate what he's done, obviously, for the Blackhawks organization, but just the game of hockey and him continuing his playing career after he thought it was over. So congratulations to number 88. And I don't know, maybe here's to 600, like Trick said in the video.